You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Finding Your Forte show. I'm really excited about this show for a number of reasons. One, if we can just all collectively celebrate the fact that this is the first show officially under the Up to Me Radio banner. So we're really excited about that. Congratulations to Up to Me Radio. And we're looking forward to continuing to bring and grow the show and hopefully bring on great guests that can talk about their experience finding their forte and then encourage you to find your own. Another reason we're really excited because we're still in the middle of taking a nice deep exhale from what was an amazing On Purpose conference that we were able to host this past week. So if you are keeping score of the shows and connecting the dots between them, then you know that last week on January the 20th, we hosted the On Purpose 2017 On Purpose Conference, and we're really fortunate to be able to have a number of professionals that value purpose as a priority in their careers and in their business and the way that they lead organizations and in the way they build high-performing teams. Well, a collection of those professionals came together and spent the day. We went through a series of experiences. Our first experience was an immersive one in which we brought in a number of esteemed executives to give us their insights. We call it executive insights from the pinnacle. And I tell you, you know, from this is our second time hosting that the conference. This year, man, there was so much great feedback around this new segment that we added. And so we're really excited to build on that momentum for next year's conference. And then we also had the opportunity to be sponsored and engaged with a number of organizations in the wellness space and, you know, and in the legal profession and the consulting profession. So that's really exciting to be able to, you know, have a first experience around as well. So in addition to the immersive experience, we had this Inspire experience where a number of clients who have gone through this Finding Your Forte experience were able to talk about the trials and challenges of pursuing purpose in their business and careers and connect it to significance from, you know, where they come. So, and then we had this Ignite experience where we had a chance to be really organic in the way that we networked and connected to each other. I will say that, you know, kudos to Ventanas, which is the venue that we use for the space. It's a breathtaking, amazing experience to be there. It's got to be one of the premier spaces in the city. We were excited to have it there for the first time this year, so thank you so much to them for hosting us, and we really look forward to having it again. In fact, we already have it on the calendar, January the 19th, Friday after King Day for 2018. So please go ahead and mark your calendars. I also want to say thank you to the artist for the song that you heard at the opening of the show. I can never get tired of sharing with you the exciting news that you know, they have agreed to allow her song to be the feature song to get and to have for the show. And it's important to me. I have a number of songs, and I share this with some people sometimes, that I keep on a playlist of songs that, you know, get me going, that get me thinking about purpose and connecting with myself individually and helping people connect. And the lead single on the song by far is this amazing track that you had a chance to hear a little snippet of, Free Your Dream by Shante Khan, and it's a feature track from her recent album, Journey to Golden, which I highly recommend you pick up a copy of and or download it from your either your music streaming portal or your online music store. So, and it's a great song to actually spend some reflective time and just listen to the lyrics and, you know, allow them to give you some direction about how to handle what you've got going on. So I am beyond elated and tickled and really looking forward to sharing with you what I think will be a unique experience, and that is to introduce you to our guest for our show today. It's the way I have the opportunity to, through incredible divine intervention, connect with people and to have an opportunity to share with them how the Finding Your Forte program works, and then have them take into consideration whether it's something for them is a story in it of itself each and every time. And so I recently had the honor to work with the one and only and esteemed Paulette Brown. Now, Paulette is the immediate past president of the American Bar Association, and she's also a partner at Lock Lord, which is and within their labor and employment practice group. And so throughout her career, she's had a number of positions, including in-house counsel. She's been a municipal court judge. And for more than 30 years, she is engaged in private practice of law and is an experienced trial lawyer. And she's also an ADR specialist, an alternative dispute resolution specialist. So as you might imagine, with an esteemed profile like that, it would be really intriguing to know how to bring even more so to the forefront her gifts and her passions and her motivations in a way that drive and fuel the work she feels called to do. And I can share with you that she is really driven and called to this mission, this personal mission she has to substantially reduce implicit and explicit bias and empower others within the judicial system. And so, you know, in a time as consequential as the times that we live in, you know, it's really exciting to know that there's someone that's kind of got that job front and center in front of them. And without actually, you know, kind of taking you through the pulse of any of the issues that are going on, it's certainly, for me, it's satisfying just to know that somebody that I know and trust is got their hand on some way on the reins of the issue. So I'm going to introduce to you now a new but really good friend and esteemed client that I've had an absolute pleasure working with, Paulette Brown. Paulette, thank you so much for spending a few moments with us this morning. I know you're really busy, but thank you for coming on our show.
You're most welcome, and happy Black History Month.
And it is that indeed. So happy Black History Month to you as well. Do you have anything really exciting that you're planning or looking forward to for Black History Month?
Is that a trick question?
It might be.
Obviously, there are a number of things going on. I just, you know, found out something that I didn't know about a black female sculptor who I had no clue about before. So I'm looking forward to learning a lot more information. Edmonia Lewis, she sculpted. She spent most of her time in Rome. I had never heard of her before.
Wow.
So, she achieved apparently international fame as a sculptor. So,
I definitely will be.
I'm looking forward to learning a lot more information during this month and continuing to the future, recognizing all the great contributions people of African descent have made.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that as well. I'll definitely be on Google when we have a chance, when we're done with the show, and I'm looking forward to admiring her pieces. I'm really excited, again, to have you. I know that this is, we're right smack in the middle of your morning routine of getting your walk in. I'll share with people that happen to be listening in that, you know, Paulette's really busy. And sometimes when you're working with really busy people, you got to meet them where they are. So for me, that meant spending a day with her in New Jersey and going on the number of power walks that she goes on during the day. So I had a great time, you know, going on one of the long walks, and I made it, right, Paulette? I was able to hang with you.
You did make it. You did well. Yes, absolutely.
So I appreciate having the opportunity. So and you were just sharing before the show how you've already gotten a couple miles in for today.
I have, but not enough. I try to walk about 7 miles a day during the course of the day.
That is outstanding, and I would imagine you. That's probably always the case. You're probably always feeling like you haven't walked enough, right?
Right. I mean, even yesterday when it was 22 degrees, I walked 4 miles in the morning.
Wow. That, hats off. I bow down. I'm not worthy. That is absolutely impressive, and I feel like I need to meet your standards. So somewhere today I'll get in a Paulette walk.
No, it keeps your stress level down.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And we were able to have some really introspective conversations as a result of having kind of walked things out. But I would like to spend a little time having you share your own personal reflection of, you know, what it was like for you to go through this process of either, you know, for some it's affirmation of things they already knew. For others it's, you know, discovery of new things. Like, what was, you know, how would you describe this experience of going through finding your forte? Like, how would you describe what that was like for you personally?
First of all, when I met you through my niece and we started talking about some things, and you looked at me and said, oh, I see the big four-letter word, which is fear, which I am totally guilty of. You know, lawyers in general are resistant to change, and I know that I am one of those resistant to change. We get very comfortable with what we do, and there's a nervousness, and there's also a sense that you have to be tied to some guaranteed form of income. I know that. I don't know, I've never been hungry or anything like that, but I had this big fear of where's my next meal coming from? How am I going to pay my bills? So that was the first thing in your kitchen, because we weren't planning on doing this. I was just coming for a visit with my niece who wanted me to meet you to talk about, you know, what was holding me back from doing some of the things that I wanted to spend more of my time doing. And the one thing about me is that if I don't do something right away, is that old adage, if you think long, you think wrong. So after talking to you, you know, I think that you were a little surprised that I signed up right away.
You're right.
I signed up right away.
I gotta share that story, but keep going.
Because I was so inspired by your thought process and what I thought that you would be able to make me do, especially in the area of focus, to not stray from the mission. at hand, although I know I gave you a lot of pushback. It's a wonder you didn't fire me.
I like to call it, we were great accountability partners.
Yes. And that is something that I need, is accountability, because I will tell you that I have had other people to attempt to work with me, and if I said, no, I'm not going to do that, they're like, okay. So you really made me accountable. I'm like, I cannot escape this guy.
I'm laughing because this is a reflection that she's sharing with me for the first time here live on a show with other people. And so I'm appreciative of having this reflection because if I might for a moment share people the other side of the story. Yes, first of all, it's important to acknowledge, and she will kill us both if we don't. The person that introduced us, a really good friend, Aaron White, who I had the opportunity to work with over the last few years, and she told me about Paulette for some time ago, and I was immediately blown away by the esteemed accomplishment that she'd received in having her peers elevate her to the level of president of the American Bar Association, which is, you know, the most esteemed organization of attorneys in the nation. And so that was a big deal, and it was noteworthy for me. And so when Aaron said, hey, I'm headed over to your house and I'm bringing my aunt, and immediately I went into a frenzy to try to prepare my space, which I certainly didn't do enough of. And it turned into this, you know, kitchen conversation about how finding your forte works, and allowing her to have the opportunity to, you know, kind of dip her toe into the process. And yes, I did have a chance to, you know, the interesting thing about seeing fear as something that was kind of present is, you know, I can't take a whole lot of credit for it being a unique thing in just that moment, because I think in a lot of cases, most people bring fear to a conversation about, you know, going through a discovery that in some ways might lay out the trajectory of where they're headed next. Like, that in itself is a pretty intimidating thing. In a lot of ways, especially with someone, you know, someone that has been able to, you know, be fortunate and accomplish as much as you have, to get to that point and to say, I'm going to be deliberate about planning the thing that's next for me, and to entertain the prospect of this program of with someone who's going to walk you through that process through an experience that you, you know, have never heard of before. That might be worthy of eliciting a little fear. So it definitely, I appreciate that you were candid in sharing that it was something that you were experiencing, but it is something that I've had, you know, the opportunity to experience and, you know, hold people's hands through going through that. So I appreciate that, you know, the opportunity to have met you, and you're right. We did immediately, in a very quick way, engage the process. I share often with people that, I told you about the program that evening, and you said very clearly, okay, send me an overview of the program in the morning. And when you didn't have that at 8 a.m., I immediately got a text and asked me, where's the process, man? I thought we were going to get started. So I appreciate it having an accountability partner, as we've called it, to you know, kind of light a fire. And the sense of urgency and the urgency of now was really present. So thank you for the opportunity to engage in that way, and I was really excited and really fired up about it.
Okay.
So one of the things that I think would really be helpful is for you to spend a little time sharing, you know, so, you know, we've talked about this calling you have around, to substantially reduce implicit and explicit bias. And, you know, it would be, you know, as consequential of a time as we're in, you know, and while, you know, without having to dive in on any issues, it would be really, you know, I think intriguing to have you share, you know, a little bit more about what that means to you, like, you know, how you've seen that unfold throughout the duration of your career, how that's taking you into roles, including leading diversity and inclusion within the legal profession, within the practices that you've worked with and those that you're around, like how that's played out. So would you mind sharing a little bit more about your kind of point of view around implicit, explicit bias, diversity and inclusion in the legal profession?
Sure. So let me just say a couple of things. One is that as the first woman of color to be president of the American Bar Association in its 137-year history, I thought that it was important to elevate the public and lawyers' level of understanding about the lack, about diversity and inclusion in the legal profession, or the lack thereof. And 88% of all lawyers in the United States are white. So in trying to understand the impact that that has, not just on the profession, but on the community at large, because if you don't have a sufficient diverse legal profession, so for me, others in other professions may disagree, but to me, there's nothing that can be done without a lawyer. I am sure when the radio station was formed, lawyers were involved. Even doctors, as critical as they are, they need lawyers. Lawyers are critical to our democracy and making sure that things run as they should, and to ensure that everyone has a fair opportunity in the democracy, then you have to have people from all sorts of backgrounds. So one of the things that people say is that implicit bias is the silent killer of diversity and inclusion.
Wow.
And I knew a lot about implicit bias before, but I think a lot of other people did not know about implicit bias and the impact of it, and the fact that if they have biases, unconscious biases about some things, that does not necessarily make them bad people, because they call it unconscious or implicit because people don't know that they have it. So the thing is to try to educate people so that they can find out what their biases are, so that they will not make negative decisions based upon their unconscious biases. So, you know, to do that, especially as a woman of color, so that people would feel some level of comfort and not and understand exactly what diversity and inclusion means, that it does not mean exclusion. It means making sure that everybody has all the same opportunities and their story is presented in the same way. So so to do that and to have people better understand, I actually went to all 50 states in the country while I was president to let people know that their thoughts mattered and so forth. And then I created a commission called Diversity and Inclusion 360 Commission, which had four components, and one of the components was to do training videos for judges, prosecutors, and public defenders to have them understand about implicit bias and the impact that that it may have on all decisions that they make. And so on the judges' video, you had actual judges to talk about their implicit biases and to talk about how when they took the implicit association test, that you know, that they were very surprised by the results, especially based on their background. So you had actually, and nobody is exempt from having bias. And I always, when I speak to groups, I always talk about my own, so that people understand that I am not saying it's someone else, it's not me. oh, yes, it's me. And the more you say it's someone else and not me, the deeper your biases are, in my opinion.
Wow.
So that sort of was a driving factor for me. And just, you know, reflecting back over my own experiences from when I was very young, I tell people that early on we are taught certain things. So when I was growing up, I used to watch a lot of Westerns with my father, and all of the good guys always rode the white horses. And the bad guys rode the black horses. So at a very young age, and there are other examples, but at a very young age, we're taught that white is good and black is bad. So, you know, you unintentionally start internalizing these subliminal messages. And even where, you know, now the way that news is reported, you know, you look at, for example, Freddie Gray, who was killed while in police custody in Baltimore. And when they, in the news article, when they describe him, they said he was the son of a heroin addict. Well, what does that have to do with him dying in police custody? So are you suggesting that because he was the son of a heroin addict that his life is less valuable? So you get these subliminal messages in what the media tells you, and you look, it's something that happened at a similar time when the guy killed all of those people at Planned Parenthood. They described this killer as a gentle loner. Of course, he was white, and so if you put it side by side, if you read the story separately, it may not cause you to think. But if you put the two stories side by side and say, look how they are referring to this black person or brown person, and look at how they're referring to this white person, it becomes quite dramatic, and how people can control our thought process and how we ultimately think about others.
I think that's, you know, absolutely fascinating and spot on, and I've had the opportunity to, through our process, experience, you know, this this personal mission that you've, you know, that clearly is front and center for you, and even having the opportunity to observe, you know, some of my own biases. You're absolutely right. We come up through societies and cultures that, and I think one thing I feel like that is part of your message that's really empowering is to recognize that, you know, we are not, none of us, particularly even, you know, people of color, are not exempt from these biases. We have these same biases. I mean, part of, you know, the reason biases are so effective is because they're institutionalized, and, you know, and so I've had the opportunity to have, you know, figuratively have my hand slapped in just, you know, going through our process and introducing images and, you know, working, you know, and what I love about, you know, working with you is, you know, no one is exempt from, you know, having biases pointed out and having the opportunity to correct them. I really do appreciate that you operate in that way. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to experience, you know, what that's like. I really feel like, you know, your work is really important, as I do for, you know, any of the people that I have the opportunity to work with. I think it was really fascinating to go through the process with you. One of the things that I felt like was really eye-opening was to go through this process where you had kind of gone through and emerged through, you know, from the kind of precursory fear that you had about what this process might unfold. And then you were, you know, full-heartedly embracing, like what you might learn. And I remember when we, particularly as we were working through the 360 experience, the leader. So for people listening in, we go through a leadership practices 360 where we ask Paulette, and we always do this, to identify, you know, peers, coworkers, people that she, you know, clients that she'd worked for, people that worked for her, where she stood on a number of leadership practices. And so I think that, you know, I just want to pause there for one second and, you know, kind of pick that back up at, after a quick break so that we can give people the opportunity to kind of take a mental breath. But I'm really interested, Paulette, in exploring what that experience was like and some of the, you know, fascinating things that we learned about you. So I'll turn it over to Mel D. Can we take a quick break? Thank you.
This is Executive Producer Mel D, and thank you for tuning in. We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new, uplifting, and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn Fields, Less Stuff, More Meaningful Life. An up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels. And there's so much more. So get your subscription today at up2memagazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Thank you. So we're back, and I really am interested in, you know, continuing to explore this conversation around how finding your forte gave us insights that might be able to help us frame up what's next for our guest, Paulette. And one of the things that I felt was really fascinating as we worked through that process was the really high marks that you received from all that you had worked, all of the people that you had worked with. I have an opportunity to see these marks kind of come in for people when we're going through this leadership practices experience. And one of the things that stood out for me is that, you know, in a profession like yours, where you are working through disputes, and I'm sure there are many different perspectives on the table at any given time on how to proceed amongst your peer groups, you know, you would expect some of that dissension, if you will, to be carryover. And but what came, I think was a loud and clear message from that experience with you was just realizing that you were really highly regarded amongst each of your peer groups, and they all felt like you embraced all of the exemplary practices they had been asked about, you know, in terms of being able to assess where you stood on these leadership practices and how they saw them play out in the way that you interacted with them, you know, on a daily basis. So I guess, you know, I would, you know, kind of start this part of the conversation would be just to ask you to share what you personally felt about how you personally responded to having that level of feedback, and then how you were able to integrate it into thinking about what to, you know, how to take that same peer group as an impact area for the mission and the work that you're about to that you're in the process of driving.
So first, you didn't talk about how their evaluations were higher than my self-evaluation.
That's true.
And I was really nervous about that part of the exercise because we never know how we come across to people. And there was also a challenge because you wanted my client list. And, you know, it was a challenge because the clients belong really to my firm and not to me. So so that was a challenge in and of itself. And it was eye opening for me, but still it made me a little bit nervous. But we walked through very methodically all that they said, and then in the various areas then start to build out what it is that I might be best suited to do. And using that, the model that you used and some of the other reading that you asked me to do, I was really able to focus more and be a little bit more organized in the way that I do things and to figure out ways to use the skills that I have to get the message across to a wide-based group of individuals. And so it really made me focus, and it really made me go back and look at how can I do this within the framework of practicing law and, you know, just generally how do I do this. And so that it helped me to know those things and what people thought. And so because people had a level of comfort and it was a wide variety of different kinds of people, then I felt comfortable in moving to the next step and planning various things. So, you know, some of the – it also told me all of the about all the various options that I have and some of the other things that I can do. So just, you know, I just – some things I just – I thought about but really thought that who would care about that and who would care that I said it. And it's given me – it's taken away some of those fears. I can't tell a lie. I still have some of them. And the good thing is that because you harassed me so much,
I did.
That's a joke.
I did harass you. I'm sorry.
When I say harassing, it really means that you were doing what you are supposed to be doing as it relates to me, and I guess anybody else with whom you work, because the harassing really pushes me to do things, and I have actually already started to do things. So I don't know if I told you this, but I did my first diversity and inclusion training, talking primarily about implicit bias for fee this past Monday. And so I'm real happy about that. You know, got my hourly rate, so I'm sure the firm will be happy too. And they made it mandatory for the lawyers in their firm to come, and they got 1.5 ethics credits. So,
wow.
It was good. So, the one thing also that it taught me is because the person who approached me has been in my mentoring group that I started about 10 years ago, she said, oh, it'd be good for you to tell this to our firm. And I said, well, I cannot do it for free. I have to charge you like I would any other client. So I think she was a little surprised by that. But I'm like, you know, your firm is in business and I'm in business. You know, we're all lawyers. We all have requirements. So, I was brave enough to say that, whereas I don't think that I would have said that. I probably would have just said, okay, because I have spoken to other law firms before, and I never told them that you have to pay for my services. So that was good.
That is beyond good. I'm so excited. I've had to kind of contain my excitement to hear the update that you're sharing with me. Currently, and just to be able to, you know, be really clear about it, you know, we developed a plan for the things that Paulette should focus on next, and what she shared with me is that she's actually started executing on that and had an opportunity. I am most excited to hear that you know, courageously asserted your value. One of the things that is pretty consistent through going through this process is that we eventually find, because of the way we approach it, we look for things that, we look to find work that people love to do, they're really good at, and it rewards them. And so when you find that trifecta in people's work, it usually is something that they're so excited to do that they'll do it for free, or they'll do it, as a part of, what's already in the, scope of work that they're doing somewhere else. And it is a really important hurdle for them to start thinking about doing that thing for fee, or to start framing up a business or services around that thing, and to not give it away. And so the fact that you insisted on putting a valuation around that contribution is a really important step, even though, it may feel like just, one opportunity. You got to start somewhere. There are many more to come. You've demonstrated that you can do it. And so I'm, again, if you can't tell, really elated to hear that you pushed through that. And I think what was really outstanding through, just kind of going back to what we learned from your exemplary leadership practices exercise, was, when we go through this process, there are some themes that start to surface, and they really start to show themselves in from a visualization perspective in a really inspiring way. And I was really inspired by, of all the practices that kind of stood out as exemplary for you, this practice around, specifically the one around clarifying values by finding your voice and affirming shared values, popped to the list as the number one thing that people most highly regarded you for, particularly as it relates to this mission that you're called to do around driving out implicit bias. And what it basically said to both of us, it kind of gave us the green light, because it said that amongst your peer group and amongst your clients and amongst folks that you work for, they're looking for you to clarify these values for them. So you have the respect to be able to have them be open to understanding their biases. And what I like about the process that I start to learn more about how you reduce biases, is it just isn't just a matter about saying, okay, it's natural that we have biases, don't do biases anymore. No, you actually have a process that you take people through where they acknowledge and they understand like what their individual biases are, and then you work through a process to coach them through removing those biases. And I just think that the universe has kind of said, you have this gift around clarifying values, and we've given you this mission around driving out implicit bias. So that's kind of the lock key effect that you need in order to be impactful in that way.
Right. So there are tools that people can use, and one of the tools that I recommend is that people take the implicit association test, which there are a number of different such tests that people can take. They can take them based on race, sexual orientation, gender, religion. They have specific ones for Muslims, all sorts of things. And today I got one that's a new one. They have one for age, for weight. And I got an email today from a friend that told me that there is a new IAT relating to hair. Good hair study.
How about that?
So I think that's pretty interesting. So I am looking into that today to see how that can be added in. But, it's even for me, it's a continuous learning process. And I think that, that's something that, we all have to be willing to do, is to continuously learn. So. And by doing that, we can sometimes we may not be able to make our biases go away, but maybe we can minimize them.
I think that's refreshing to hear, because it's a really realistic perspective, and it gives people a much more tangible outcome to shoot for, as opposed to, you know, something as idealistic as, you know, eliminating biases. And I love that even as we were framing up the language around your mission statement, your purpose statement, you were really clear as to be, you know, realistic that, you know, it's near impossible to all, you know, to eliminate bias in that, but we can substantially reduce them. And I think that is what that creates a level of excitement and inspiration that, you know, makes the mission that you've taken on something that we can actually have happen. So I'm excited to continue to work with you. So we're gonna wrap up. This has been a really great conversation. I appreciate you sharing some of your time, taking a break in your power walk to spend a little time this morning chatting with us and sharing with us the mission that you're called to. You know, I would ask that you, you know, if for someone that is kind of at a crossroads within their career and or their business and are, you know, looking for a way to, you know, frame up what to do next. I mean, and if you recall prior to our meeting, remembering where you were, you know, is there any last piece of advice that you would have around, you know, how to think about what to do next or like anything that you would suggest as a piece of, you know, bit of advice for investing in yourself enough, the time and energy to be deliberate about your next step? Like, what advice would you share with somebody that's in that place?
Other than to hire you?
Other than to hire me, yes. This isn't a promo. I didn't mean for it to be.
No, I know it's not a promo, but I have to say that, you know, in all candor, and this is really serious, that I've worked with a number of different people before, and the process that finding your forte goes through in making you realize what it is that you should be doing, what it is that you're best at doing, is really an important process that, quite frankly, no one has gone through with me. And the accountability piece is really critical because sometimes we don't have the ability to hold ourselves accountable, and we need someone else to make us hold ourselves accountable. So, you know, my thing is that we can all do better, and that none of us have reached our pinnacles, that there's always something more that we can do. At least that's the way that I feel about myself, and sometimes we can't do it alone. We need someone else or some other tool to help us. And so I think that, you know, let me just give you a quick story. A friend of mine, when I told her about you, she said she was so shocked. And I said that I was doing this. I'm like, why are you shocked? She said, because you just seem to have it all together. I don't know why you would need somebody like that. And I told her the highest achieving of people always have somebody like this. And so, so she was, I mean, she was truly shocked that I was doing this. She said, because I just didn't think that you would need anybody for that. I'm like, yeah, we all need somebody. And so that's what we have to understand, that none of us is just so wonderful that we can't be better.
Well, I got to say, I am humbled and honored to have you, you know, speaking that way about the process. You know, I accept it only because, I mean, primarily because it's the work that I clearly am called to do. I have a blast doing it with people. I promise, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I promise this wasn't a beg for a promo. It really was a way I really wanted to have listeners go away from this conversation with a point of inspiration on what they should do for themselves next. You know, if I think the thing that you were really deliberate around, deliberative being one of the gifts that we identified for you, the one thing you're really deliberate around is just being intentional about what's next. And maybe that's the thing that, your friend maybe didn't realize that, you know, has been part of the one of the success factors for yourself is that you are really deliberate about what's next. And the notion that you would actually take the time and energy and invest resources to, you know, to be methodical and strategic about yourself, much like if we were going to go build an amazing building, we would just start, you know, piling up bricks. We'd build a blueprint, you know, and we, mock it up and build a model of the building so that people see themselves as worthy of that level of strategic planning and being deliberate and intentional, I think is a really important transformation that we collectively need to take everyone to. So I appreciate the fact that you've given us the example of you. And I look forward to continuing to hear more great updates like the one you just shared of where you had the opportunity to, even if it's just at one chink at a time, drive out a little bit more implicit bias. I think our world is in much better place, even just knowing the momentum of you is coming. And thank you for the opportunity to work with you in that way. And thank you for spending some time with us this morning. I really appreciate it. And
okay,
I
have one more thing before we go. You know, you're promising that this was not for self-promotion. I'm gonna give a little advice. One thing that I've learned over the years that women, in particular women of color and people of color generally, don't take enough credit for what it is that they do, that there's nothing wrong at all with self-promotion, because if you don't do it, you can't rely on anyone else to do it. So I think that to the extent that you have an opportunity to self-promote, that you should do it.
Well, I will take that, and we will both power walk on it. How about that?
That sounds good, and thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for spending the morning with us, and have a great day, and I look forward to continuing to work with you. And thank you, everyone, for joining in to Finding Your Forte. We look forward to seeing you next week, next Wednesday at 8 a.m., and we will talk to you then. Find your forte, compose your masterpiece, and play your crescendo.
Thank you.
But it don't mean that I still don't have a dream. the good guy.